Chapter 5, Legal and Financial Realities, How to Manage an Outsourced Virtual Assistant. Well, congratulations, you've overcome your fear of outsourcing. You've hired one or more overseas virtual assistants. You've trained them with your choice of videos, manuals, maybe in-person sessions. The next step is monitoring your new employees during that crucial period as they're learning the ropes. But how can you do that from a distance? Well, let me walk you through some effective ways. Monitoring and managing are two different things. You'll need to do both throughout your relationship with an outsourced VA, but let's begin with monitoring. That's the system by which you make sure you've chosen a suitable employee, one with both the ability level and the personal integrity that you need. There's webcam monitoring. Now, I know you're scared. Aren't webcams set up in a girl's locker room by peeping toms? Now that I planted that image in your brain, erase it, please. Webcam monitoring may seem distasteful, and it's not a practice you would typically use with an on-site employee, but it is an accepted and even expected practice when dealing with VAs who are half a world away. A workplace webcam is not sleazy, and it's not even covert. The new employee is typically aware that her workstation is being monitored by an off-site employer. And here's how it works. During and for some time after your VA's training period, you as an employer set up a webcam during your employee's work hours. A tiny box on the computer screen allows you to see that your employee or employees are at their desks doing their thing. Several types of programs are available for this purpose, including WebWatcher. Once your employees prove themselves diligent, or if they're uncomfortable about being monitored this way, you can pull back. I used this method during the training of my first outsourced employee, Carl. I set up a remote desktop and checked in to see what he was doing during the breaks between training sessions. What he was doing was typing up his notes. That told me everything I needed to know about Carl, and he turned out to be an amazing employee. Daily reports are another way of monitoring. If you just can't shake that perv feeling enough to monitor your VAs via webcam, another way of monitoring progress is with end-of-day reports. During the initial training period or on an ongoing basis, you can have your VAs provide you with detailed reports at the end of each workday. Does this create another daily task for you? Well, not really, because you don't have to check the reports daily. You can check them weekly or periodically, just often enough to reassure yourself your VAs are completing the tasks they've been assigned at the quality level you require. At a managed outsourcing facility, VA monitoring is done for you. You'll have a project manager on site whose job it is to supervise your employees and guarantee their productivity. The best part about this method? Well, it brings you one step closer to being free. Documentation is a way of monitoring. Remember when I said that monitoring is not the same as managing? Well, one way to think of the difference is this. Monitoring is temporary or intermittent, and management is ongoing. And since management's ongoing, it involves that dreaded legal reality, documentation. You may already have a hiring contract, review, and termination system in place for your on-site employees, and if so, you don't need to alter your system for VAs. Here are some of the types of documents you can use for your management needs, like company policies, virtual assistant work-for-hire agreement, a virtual assistant daily time report, virtual assistant no-pass performance review, in other words, termination, virtual assistant pass performance review, and a virtual assistant and performance warning. So let me go over some of the documents that you should really have in place. One is company policies for full-time virtual assistants. I'm going to go through a list of almost 20 things that should be in your company policies, and these are directed at the full-time virtual assistant. First, commit yourself to a full-time work schedule according to your 8-hour per day, Monday through Friday arrangement at the time of hire. Number two, you will be required to give us a working email address and Skype name, and you'll be required to use these as daily forms of communication during your working hours. Number three, you'll be required to use a daily time report to chart your tasks as assigned by your manager. You'll be required to submit your daily time report at the end of each pay period by the date assigned by your manager in order to receive payment for that pay period. Number four, your pay is based on actual time worked. Your 8-hour workday does not include lunch and breaks or holiday or sick pay. You must log off of your timesheet for lunch breaks and log back in when you return. We allow for a 1-hour lunch break during the workday. Number five, if you wish to take more time off than 1 hour during your workday, or if you want to take days off for any reason, you need to contact your manager for authorization. And record this time as time with no pay, unless you've arranged with your manager to make up the hours missed. Number six, if you're sick or you lose internet connection, you'll need to contact your manager as soon as possible. Report the reason for your absence. This will be recorded as time with no pay, unless you've arranged with your manager to make up the hours. Number seven, per your contract, if you have a pay period in which you report less than or more than the regular full-time 8 hours per day, your pay will be calculated by the hour per your work-for-hire agreement. Number eight, pay periods are twice monthly, running from the 1st through the 15th and from the 16th through the last day of the month. Number nine, any changes in your schedule, either temporary or permanent, must be requested in advance and authorized by your manager. Number 10, per your manager's instructions, you will follow login procedures at the beginning of each workday and fill in your daily time report for tasks during the day. Number 11, you must always be reachable by email and other instant messaging systems during work hours. That's per your manager's instructions, unless, of course, you're away from your desk for lunch. Number 12, if you have a question about your task, need clarification on instructions for the task, or are having difficulties completing it, you must contact your manager immediately. Do not proceed on guesswork. Number 13, at the beginning of your workday, review your tasks. If you don't have enough tasks for the day, notify your manager immediately so you can be provided with more tasks. It's your responsibility to ensure you have enough tasks to occupy your work hours. Number 14, you are not, under any circumstances, allowed to work for other clients or other companies during your work hours for us. Remember that you've signed a contract designating your hours and schedule. Number 15, remember, per our work-for-hire agreement, which you've signed, that you will under no circumstances share our company documents or materials or software with anyone or use these documents, materials, or software for personal use. Number 16, you will be issued a warning for not showing up for work on time, not completing your tasks on time, or not being reachable during work hours. If this behavior continues after the warning's been issued, you may be terminated at the discretion of your manager. Okay, those are just some ideas about what you might put in your own company standards. Now let's talk about a work-for-hire agreement. It's used by companies who outsource tasks to a person not in their employee, like a virtual assistant, a copywriter, social media manager, and so forth. It's a document under which a service provider agrees to provide services described in the form. The person you outsource tasks to is an independent contractor. They're not an employee of your company. This work-for-hire agreement should not be used if the service provider is really an employee of the company. To put it simply, the work-for-hire agreement is simply a short-form version of a consulting agreement. It should be signed by both you and your VA, and the agreement becomes effective as of the date cited, usually the beginning of the agreement. Once you design it, it won't hurt to have your attorney review your form. Now, we've talked about timesheets. Although for various reasons it's sometimes not advocated by many VAs, time tracking is an important component of outsourcing to a VA. Clients are only billed for time actually spent on tasks. Because of this, it's vital that a virtual assistant have some sort of system in place to track their time. Some outsourcers prefer to see the exact breakdown of their VA's time, while others aren't really concerned with it. Still, it's good business practice, especially when beginning a relationship, to have and to use a time tracker that allows you to be aware of the breakdown regardless. Using an Excel spreadsheet will allow you to label columns, and there's also templates you can download. Depending on how much you need to micromanage, you'll decide on what you need to know. Now, a word to the wise, most VAs are fiercely independent. That's why they became VAs to begin with. They may not take kindly to micromanagement. So unless you feel that you need one, a time tracker may not be necessary. And since the VA is an independent contractor, you will not be concerned with breaks or lunch breaks. the VA will make her own schedule unless time is a factor in performing the task. If your project involves intellectual property, IP, that you need to protect, the worker's country may not have any laws that are enforceable to protect it. As an extreme example, an unethical worker might try to resell your IP to others, and you may not be able to enforce a non-disclosure agreement or sue them for damages. Now, if this is a concern, consult with your attorney concerning the IP laws in the countries you're considering, and choose one with laws in place that will protect your interests. I'm often asked about the safety of sharing business secrets with outsourced VAs, a concern that reminds me of the Yellow Peril, also referred to as Yellow Terror. In 1855, at the height of the California Gold Rush, the largest immigrant group in the United States happened to be Chinese. Seen as competition for gold and wages in the newly industrialized nation, Asians began to be depicted in Yellow Peril literature as being cold, greedy, and secretive. This paranoia ultimately resulted in legislation that blocked Chinese immigration for a decade and established negative stereotypes that took years to break down. It's important to distinguish between legitimate fears and needless suspicion, which in some cases is the result of cultural stereotyping. I believe your business secrets are as safe, if not safer, in the hands of a foreign virtual assistant than with your in-house domestic employees. The fact your foreign workers have fewer resources than you have means they also have fewer opportunities to use any proprietary information they may gain in the course of their employment with you. Let's talk about task arbitrage. There's no need to agonize over whether your fears are legitimate or baseless if you practice good business security in the first place. It's safest to avoid sharing your deepest, darkest business secrets with any of your employees. Task arbitrage should be your routine. Now, for me, it's habit. I have employees involved in every aspect of my business, but only my key managers are privy to what I consider to be the most important information. I take tasks and spread them over various groups. I have VA work groups that handle Facebook, groups that handle LinkedIn, groups that handle phone calls, and groups that handle transcription. Task arbitrage serves not only an information security function, but also an employee retention function. If an employee understands every aspect of my business, I've created an incentive for that individual to go off on his own. In effect, I've created a competitor. So even with my key managers and executive assistants, I spread proprietary information among several people. For example, earlier I mentioned LJ, my key executive assistant in the Philippines. LJ handles lots of very important and proprietary tasks for me. But she doesn't do everything. I give some proprietary tasks to Kristen, my U.S. assistant, just as a safety measure. In this way, no single employee ever becomes too in the know or indispensable. Worst case, could your well-trained employees run off with some of your secrets? Sure. Could they become your competitors? They could, but how many competitors do you already have? And what's one more competitor, really? Is the worst case possible? Yeah. Is it probable? No. As you probably already noticed, living the laptop lifestyle is not just about putting procedures into place to automate your business. It's about attitude. Just as you've learned to keep the most important business building task for yourself and delegate the rest, you must learn to do the same with your thoughts. Keep the productive. Cast off the unproductive. If you're not used to thinking this way, it may take some practice, but it's worth the effort. Living the virtual lifestyle means putting systems into place to manage your employees and protect interests to the greatest extent possible, given that you're dealing with fallible, unpredictable human beings, and then letting the rest go. It may sound a little like wax on, wax off, but Mr. Miyagi was onto something. So was En Vogue when they sang, "Free your mind, the rest will follow." Only when you learn to free your mind will you truly be outsourcing smart. Well, that completes our discussion of monitoring your VA. Coming up in Chapter 6, we'll talk about the marketing funnel, outsource list building, and lead creation. Hang in there.